Now, it is a common thing in many of our cities. Land that was once productive for small-scale agriculture consumed by slowly creeping suburbia. Here is a story about a couple doing their little bit to reverse engineer that process, bringing a bit of highly productive farmland to New York's Staten Island. Meet Zara Bates and her husband recently, Asher Landers, who joined us. They're fresh off the plane from New York. Welcome you two.
Thank you very
Thanks.
Much.
Thanks for having us.
When does a garden become a farm?
That's a really good question. In the case of growing vegetables, we might call it a market garden. So it's a bit of a garden and a farm. I guess anything in farming, anything constitutes a farm in the U.S. if you're growing for sale and okay. You're selling up to $1,000 in revenues. So that's a bit of a technical definition for a farm. But really, if you're gardening and you're selling what you are...
That's farming.
What you're producing.
Describe this bit of land to us.
So we've got a 500-meter squared space. It's about the size of a basketball court, for some reference. Mm-hmm. And it uses a green roof technology because it's above the parking garage in our building.
Just explain that. Is that a growing medium of some sort or soil? How does that work?
Rather than being in little pots or containers, we use the entire surface of the roof. Mm-hmm. And with a green roof, right above the waterproofing of the roof, there's layers of felting and drainage. And then we've got about, 50 centimeters. My centimeter to inches conversions isn't so great, but I think it's about 50 or 60 centimeters of soil sitting on top of those drainage layers. And green roofing is super cool because it has all these benefits for the building, and it just allows us to feel as if we've brought an entire kind of field or meadow into a building on top of a structure.
It's sort of between two apartment block type structures, and you both live there too.
Yes.
We do. We are the farmers in residence, and that's really important for us in what we do, where our business is Empress Green, and we're on two pillars. We produce food, we're farmers, but we also create an experience. And we live in the building, we operate and we work in the building, and we engage with the residents that live there to give them a connection and be a voice and a front for the community.
And provide them with produce, I'm guessing.
And provide them with food, delicious, delicious food, absolutely.
And honey.
Yes, we have 20 beehives on the roof of the building, mm-hmm. and we also provide workshops and chances for them to come and experience the bees firsthand.
How did this start, Zara? Was this a thing that grew with that particular development? Was it built into the planning, or was it something that came later?
The project was in its planning and design phases when I started working with the developer, and the architects had reserved a space that was going to be some sort of green space, some sort of shared community space within the apartment block. And together we came up with this concept of having a sort of commercially activated farm within the residence.
You tried this before?
We, Asher and I met at the Brooklyn Grange, which is a rooftop farm just a stone's throw from where we're now operating.
Okay.
And that is the largest rooftop, soil-based rooftop farm in the world. And they've got an awesome model that we kind of took a lot of tips from, and then we brought that into a residential setting.
And there must have been some great shortcuts in that. I mean, part of this sort of thing is what grows, what works, what sort of things are actually good things to grow in this sort of setting.
We pay homage to them frequently. They're our mentors and our friends and our community. The urban farm scene is quite small, and we all know each other and we're all friends and support each other. We're in this kind of funny niche of being competitors growing similar things, but we support each other.
But wanting that idea to spread, I guess that's the thing.
The more the merrier, absolutely.
As a movement, I mean, you say pretty small, but is it something which is gaining in some sort of popularity and more farms like this being developed?
Yeah, definitely since we started and since the Grange started, there's a lot more traction with the movement of both urban agriculture and just smaller scale farms becoming more viable. And a lot of consumers looking to get closer to the source of their food, to know more about what is in the food that they're eating. So we're really happy to be part of that movement.
Give us a sense. I mean, you say your basketball court size farm. I mean, what can that produce? Give me some numbers and tonnage.
I'm not going to give you numbers and tonnage. I'm going to give you a bit of context.
Okay. I'll settle for context.
Context. on a bigger scale, even organic commercial market garden farm or commercial vegetable operation, they'll use a tractor and they'll plant everything in accordance with the settings of the tractor. So they'll the tractor will have tines or teeth that the tractor has different parts that do different things.
Digging bits,
planting bits, seeding bits, tilling bits. And each crop that's planted is planted according to the space of the tractor. So you remove the tractor, you don't need as much space. So we're planting, we farm in what's called a biointensive style of farming.
Right, so this is really compressed. Every inch is working hard.
Exactly. So we're planting to the needs of the plant, not to the need of the farmer or the machine. You take the machine out. You take out the capital expense, number one, and you also take out the need for a lot of space. So we're able to grow, let's say you're in a big field, you need 5 beds to grow 10 rows of carrots. We can grow all of those rows of carrots in 2 beds. So it's coming down by 2, 3, 4.
Right, which in a farm the size of a basketball court is a fairly
you can grow a
important
lot of food.
Priority. Well, yeah. and what sort of crops? And what did you have in your last season, your last autumn?
Salad greens is a big cash crop for us.
Yep.
Tomatoes, peppers, and we've taken from year one to year two pragmatic steps to run a business that is for profit. Is for profit. Absolutely. We're trying to be an example for kids to show you that this can be a career. This is a way that you can make money, make a living, and also affect change and feed people and feed your community.
I'm getting a question here about water. Is it harvested from the building? Is that a part of the process?
Water is something that we're not harvesting from the building. We would love to get in a little bit earlier in the design phases on future projects to be able to do that kind of thing. It is a resource that we have a little bit more of in our climate than here in Australia. We get a nice amount of rainfall in the States, not that we should be using all of it, but it's a little bit less of a pressure to recycle water.
On the other side of that coin, of course, you have in New York a pretty harsh climate. I mean, you have three growing seasons, but one in which things are inhospitable.
That's how we're able to be here. Absolutely. And it's a luxury, but it's also given us time to come here and see what's happening on the ground and propose projects and hopefully get some urban farming stuff happening.
You say a small movement in New York and surrounds. I mean, any evidence in Australia that you've seen?
Yeah, there are some great partners, some great people on the ground doing amazing stuff. I mean, Ceres Environmental Park is fantastic.
That's in a North Melbourne?
That's right.
Yep.
And some other amazing examples. And there's a lot more energy and a much bigger push to making these things happen now more than ever.
And it's techniques that people can, of course, employ in their own spaces. It doesn't have to be on that sort of farm scale. It can still be done in the garden scale.
Yes, absolutely. And we've been really inspired by a couple of standout examples of people who are turning over their lawns and their front yard, backyard into productive growing space. One is called The Urban Farmer in British Columbia, and he's got a ton of YouTube videos out there and a beautiful book, but it's really amazing how much you can pack into a small amount of space, and especially when you have that crop list of the types of crops that turn over quickly and also can be planted quite densely.
Because that's what you want, isn't it? In that small space is something which you can use often and not completely diminish.
High-value, fast rotation.
Yeah.
That's the key. It's the key.
And having things like YouTube videos and so on to watch, I mean, because it's just fairly technical. And getting the sort of tips from people who've done it before sort of takes a few years out of the process.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're able to pick and choose and hone the model and bring it all together.
On the one hand, there's no need to reinvent the wheel. So you could really, as a beginning gardener, you could get some really great tips on what types of crops you could be planting that would work in your space. On the other hand, it's always a bit of an experiment because each site is going to have a different profile in terms of the sun and the soil. And, you know, even from one season to the next, there's a lot of variation in how different crops will do. So I think for beginning gardeners, I always say just have a little sense of fun with it and have a play and see it as an experiment.
When you get back to your New York spring, what's going to happen? What's the job list?
It's long. It's absolutely long. We're in year three, which is definitely our growth year. We're looking to hire a farmer full time, take a step back and build more projects, build more farms where, you know, we see this as an amazing opportunity to share what we do. And I think that comes back to what Zara is saying and what you're mentioning about the YouTube videos. Everyone in this industry is in it to share, is in it to provide good food and make the world better. And we want that too. And we're open book and open door. And everyone who comes to visit us and comes to see us in the building gets that firsthand every time. That's all we want for the next generation. It's all we want for the people we love.
An inspiring tale. There you go. Farming in the heart of New York. Staten Island is where you will find Zara Bates and Asher Landis and many crops, many bees, many things growing. What do bees do in winter?
They sleep. They eat. They wise keep each bees. Other warm.
Wise bees. Thanks so much.
You're Thank welcome. You.
Blueprint here on RN.